All right, welcome, welcome to PRQ Homesteading. Thank you so much. And I command our spirits to give us perfect communication today. Thank you, thank you, thank you. All right, exciting. Let's see if we can get some work done today. must thank the PRQ team for updating the PDFs. I'm sure you're enjoying the large redaction points. You know, it gets a little rummy there, but should be able to figure it out. If not, just call in when we do take calls about that, or send in a message. The topics I'm going to work on today, and thank you BBS Radio for all your support and assistance, and of course all the web pages that we use there. Couple items I'll start with today before I go into step four. There's a very good reason why I'm reading each step out. You now have all the dialogue to homestead and file homesteading at your local county administrations. The one opportunity we have today is, I'm going to go over three items before we take calls, is the BLM executive team. It's very interesting. The U.S. Department of the Interior, you'll find an interesting political position that we've enjoyed for the last 4 years. And I assure you, it's going to change quickly. The other business item would be a request for surveyors, and I may have a PRQ team member talk about why and how we need surveyors that want to help with a lot of titles. So an idea would be having our paralegal pros who are bundling our homesteads for us have an accompaniment of surveyors is one idea if we're going to open each office. And that, of course, has a lot to do with the way we create redundancy and compartmentalize efficiencies. And I'll explain that in a few minutes here. And or why don't I just do it right now? Hang on just a second. Hopefully I'm coming in clear today. Of course you are. The first thing I want to talk about with the Bureau of Land Management is notice that it is in within the department, U.S. Department of the Interior. All right. Now, if you'd like to take have a fun little run through the official website of the United States government, which it's not, but you can, it was, I'll explain why. The U.S. Department of the Interior, if you go to their webpage right now, you should see the Interior Leadership's in the Biden-Harris Administration Clean Energy Agenda. Okay, so when we forge our elections in the United States of America, and we watch these people pretend to be in the United States of America and running the United States of America and pretend to play those roles. Remember, Ms. Harris and Biden are the first presidents I'm aware of that ever got nominated through the service door of the White House. Never seen in a dirty service door. So anyway, that one's a fun one that you might want to remember. 4 years ago, Mr. Biden and Ms. Harris got inaugurated into the kitchen where the garbage is actually taken out through the parking lot of the White House. It's a very funny story. But you have to, certainly those videos are wiped by now. Anyway, so once we start working on helping you get your homestead and land patent back and a loyal title so that you can be free on your own land. These folks thought it'd be cute to have some software issues, and the mapping system is one of the ways they can pretend that there are software issues. So you just put in an algorithm. So you can thank the gang there for why you may be struggling at BLM or not. And you may also suggest maybe to yourself and others that you may not be dealing with humans. So it's very easy for them to screw with web pages, obviously, and make it look like there's really no problem whatsoever. So bear with us, but my call out to everyone is to get the Bureau of Land Management executives, U.S. Department of the Interior executives, and explain to us why we cannot have access to at least the microfish and mapping systems. Excuse me. I had a little attention today. So that's my call out is how, let's get a hold of some people at a very senior level and explain to us why we're not getting full access to the way we used to prior to me starting this process. Why would you want to slow us down? Because you're not going to. And I thank you all for your participation. All right, let's get to step four here. See how I do today. A little long in the throat today. Let's see. Okay, we're on step four. It's very important that I read these so that we have redundancy in communication and we get to archive it and we put energy towards it, intention towards it. After today, everybody should have a great opportunity to advance their homesteading. Step four, affidavit of posting. Again, on BBS Radio, you go to PRQ Homestead web and or front page and navigate to about midsection, and there is the PDF. You can follow them as I read if you like. Drill into the PDF, and that'll give you all the samples that have been successful from our point of view. All right, step four, affidavit of posting. This document is signed by two witnesses who watched you post your public notice on a bulletin board and who also watched you post the two laminated copies of the public notice on your property. Real important that you have witnesses for both of these. It is obvious why it's important. When do you do this? It is filed out at the time of posting your public notice and then signed by your witnesses in front of a notary public. So you already had that reference point in step two. Notary public do the same way. This affidavit is not recorded, filed, but kept for your records only. Why? This document is used to give the public notice that you have updated the original land patent into your name with your legal land description. So I encourage you all to be very knowledgeable at this point because you're done now. This is, you're good to go. To give anyone with legal standing an opportunity to challenge your claim of ownership, it is best to give notice prior to recording, filing your declaration of land patent. If posting this notice on a bulletin board, it needs to remain posted for a minimum of 30 days. The notice states that anyone making a claim against your land must do so within 60 days, just like I said before on the public notice on your land, or be barred from making any claim after 90 days. A default judgment can be entered against anyone who attempts to make a claim then. So a motion for default judgment is real simple at county courts, real simple. So if you're dealing with the banks, because you file a motion for default judgment and your defense is, I already put up public notice. By the way, this is a federal issue. I have a federal land patent. And then cite the key points. And of course, we'll show you how to do that in the future. First, make sure the names of your two witnesses are printed in the appropriate spaces at the top of the affidavit at the time you post your public notice. And then at that time is filled in an either AM or PM circle. Then your witnesses each sign the affidavit in front of a notary public. It does not have to be signed the same day as the posting occurs, but rather at the convenience of your witnesses shortly thereafter. So it's not time bound, just the total duration is. Again, all documents are in blue ink. What we'll do in the future, I feel I'll get to it next week. Let's see, will be to, this is, I'll just remind everybody that let Biden and Harris gang who is no problem, they're aliens, let them know that God's in town and we're gonna take all this back, and very proud to say that. I'm very proud of you all following me. Next week, we'll go through no trespassing sign posting notice, in which I'll have put the PDF up on BBS Radio. And this notice is going to be certified with a return receipt request, and then you'll send it to the county sheriff you live in, lead county commissioner, county executive, county prosecuting attorney, director of planning staff, if any. So some of your counties don't have planning, construction planning, that is. Governor of the state, attorney general of the state, and then any other government officials you think is important. And anyway, I'll put those up, and it will cite all the case law and revocation of implied license and so forth. And then we'll go through the next document, which would be notice to public servants, agents, or other persons and public servant questionnaire. If they come on your property, it will recite the no trespassing sign case law and revoke the implied license statements. And so it's quite interesting read once you get to that point. Hopefully you don't need to use it. All right, let's take some calls. See, excuse me. See if I can get the voice up and running here. I command my spirit to heal my voice. Thank you. Let's take some calls. And anyway, did my PRQ member that's sneaking around have any comments about surveyors? Is there, why do we need surveyors, by the way?
Surveyors, my most recent agenda is to get surveyors to go out and actually survey the original meets and bounds of the original land patent. However, I've been unsuccessful. As soon as I raise up the original land patent, they start asking questions, why, how, when, and where you want to do this. And so getting the original meets and bounds for modern day things, maps aren't always overlaid equally between the original land patent maps and modern day maps. And so the parcel system that we are familiar with, there is conflictions. I've found certain instances where certain land parcels are overlaying two different land patents, which in my opinion is not kosher or legal. So trying to find the original meet and bounds of the original land patent, actually landmark it with GPS coordinates and modern day technology would be effective and efficient for everybody.
Okay, so what issues? Hang on a second. I'll go ahead and take calls now too. Let the phone lines get populated here. We're almost done there, BBS Radio, with our overview. Go ahead and call in at 888-627-6008, BBS Radio. Again, the number is 888-627-6008. Okay, so the surveyors that you're approaching, what are their issues with addressing federal land patents, if that's what they do? Don't they do that for a living anyway?
They do surveying. However, it seems to bring up federal land patents or original land patent grants. They start to hesitate, and they either do not return your phone calls or they're unwilling to do the work. They will do work with parcels from my experience, but it's still a work in progress, but that's what I've come across so far.
Okay, so is it a conflict of interest in the counties you've been reviewing or their business model, practices with their peers, or what is it exactly?
In my opinion, it seems like they have a good old boys club going on between or amongst them all. I've come across instances where one surveyor was willing to do the work, but it was in an area where they had a not-compete clause with other surveyors. So what that actually means or what they're doing, I don't know. But as soon as you bring up, like I said, the original land patent, they start questioning things or refuse to do the work.
Gotcha. Okay. So, and really, the surveyors that would co-create with us really would be because the maps that are incomplete or overlaying on maybe state park and rec and some residential, some of those maps are old and they're not to scale either, are they?
No, a lot of the maps that they're using are from the 1800s, 1900s, and don't necessarily meet up with the modern day maps. Waterways have changed, conditions have changed things. So the actual lay of the land is unable to be found.
Right. Now, this is where we must be careful. Again, go ahead and call in. I'll take calls today if you'd like. This is the Homestead Show, 888-627-6008. Why this is pretty important stuff here is it gets real easy to start a court battle, and where a surveyor can be of great help is they're going to define the latitude, longitude, range, section, etc. of the property, and you're just going to file it anyway. Because now someone's got to prove that you don't have the right description. Well, a land surveyor is a licensed individual who does that. So for me, that's probably more of the conflict of interest the land surveyors come across is, wait a minute, now it's my word that this is actually the land patent, right?
Yes.
Because it doesn't exist in, coincidentally, right when we start doing this Bureau of Land Management. Now.
Yeah.
It's getting a little cute, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah. Well, we'll get this cleaned up, no problem. But anytime you get... Any folks come across this issue are on the ball, and they all work in very interesting places in our All right, Ann from Arizona, question on certificate succession. Ann from Arizona, line two. Please, Camp, that is a really strong question.
Thank
please,
you,
go ahead.
Hi, Keith.
Hello.
Hey, I'm with Carrie's group. How are you?
Thank you so much for your passion and Carrie's passion. I'm so proud to get to work with all of you. Thank you so much.
Oh, we love you, Q. Thank you. I have a question. So on my property, there's five successors. Number three is the most recent. And it's 200 acres from the exchange. Looks like the Private Taylor Act. Is that a grazing act? Do you know anything
can you
about
say
that
it
one?
One? Yeah, can you say it one more time? I'm sorry.
It's 200 acres. It's called private. It comes from the Private Taylor Act, and that's the most. That's the most recent date, and that's number three.
Is
what
was that the date?
An issue if it's number three, 1945.
1945. Way too new. Got to get older.
So okay. If I go to number four, it. Oh, go ahead.
Okay, 1945. Okay, and this is in what county? Sorry, I just got to get a couple more pieces of information so I can be of help to you.
So, Maricopa County.
Maricopa, sorry, Fury said that. And the original homestead land patent, do you know the date on that one?
Yes. So, the original was September 5th, 1922, 160 acres cash pay.
Okay, so there you go. Now, the successor, the next successor who homesteaded and filed homestead in your county is a different name or is it the same family name?
Yes. No, different name. And 3 months later.
It is a radio show, sorry. Okay. Still there? Still there?
Yes. I'm here.
Okay, so here's my suggestion. Get the original homestead and then look. And if you feel there are successors after that one, that you want to make it, you want to make a chain of title assumption that you're assuming that there was successors to the original homestead. Now, I can already tell that there is not a successor in 1945 because it grew in acreage, number one. So somebody has made a deal with somebody. And in 1945, it's 100 years after the original homestead. So you want to be a successor of the original homestead. Now, there is a chance that, forgive me if you're about ready to tell me that the family kept succession or someone else kept succession of this homestead and it is filed properly. So is that your comment that you feel someone has done this correctly and there is already a successor to the original homestead in 1922?
So 1922 was bought by the original, was a homestead purchase. And then after that, it was broken off into 80 acres. One was 80, one was 40.
With different successors. And they did not file
correct
their homestead?
I just see one homestead.
Yeah. So you, okay, so what we want to do is we want to get the firm line. And so as people sold their homesteads off, people like the Taylors would come in and try and define it as, trusts, many different development ideas so that it could not be improved, et cetera, et cetera. If you cannot find successor from the original homestead, then it's still open. Still, no one has a lot of title. So that succession has to be from their original homestead. If you read the document on the PDF, let's see, did we put up our sample a successor land patent, our doc? Not yet. Okay, very good. Yeah, we'll get that up next week. I'll show you why that's important. I'm surprised to see 1922. I bet you're 75 years off. I don't think that's the original homestead. So I'll go ahead and take another caller. Can you send us an email saying I talked to you on the radio last week?
Yes, I will.
Yeah, and then just put your phone number in there and let's see if we can get you. Thank you so much. I'll take another call. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. By the way, Michigan, all those Michigan people from last week, you're still in succession, in process. Thank you, for that call. That was a great call. So you're going to see a lot of that, as you go through this. You've got to get to the very first homestead. So Arizona, I think all the Arizona ones I've seen should be around 1856, plus or minus 10 years, somewhere right there. So most of the West Coast ended up right in there, maybe as late as the 1860 or so. Okay. Let's go look at, let's see, BBS, what do you got here? BK's back on. Wow. I would like to talk to, I'm going to skip around a little bit, BBS. On line four, there's Carrie from Maine, pre-purchase procedure for land patent in Maine. Carrie, are you there?
I am here. Thank you. How are you?
Oh, so good, so good. Hey, a little scratchy throat, but I'm good. I'll make it through. I'm supposed to be able to heal myself, so I'll get on it.
Good. I find myself at the moment without a home or land, and I hope to be buying one really soon, and I'm just wondering about the how to do it. Do I do anything prior, or do I purchase the property and then go through this procedure that you've laid out so well, wonderfully?
Great question. And of course, we're playing with this too. And what we're finding, so the girls of Ballard, as an example, I think they're on a mission right now. We found some property for them and or one that they may be intrigued with and have legacy spiritual connection with. And we're going to get them started going through a traditional purchase agreement. But when my suggestion is that you, when you do procure, so we've got a guy who wants to sell his land or his house. If you can already have your script written, as I've laid out, that's why I'm going so slow. You could now go to your county title company and just sign manually. They don't even have to type up. Most title companies, I don't want to give you the big boys' names. I like the little guys. They seem to be more customer-oriented. But what you can do, they really want that title insurance sale. So they're trying to sell you title insurance. Well, that's obviously of no value to you because you're going to go to a lot of your title. But what is a value at the title companies is getting a quick claim deed signed right in front of the title expert, we assume, and give him his $37. It's probably more like $450, but whatever the number is. And the seller is with you right in the title company, and you both can sign it right there and have all your homestead paperwork there too, and your exclusions and assumptions outlined there. Now, every real estate agent in the world is now jumping off the counter saying you have to use our state real estate license agreements. If you can avoid those contracts, in my opinion, they only serve your state you live in's contractual language. I've yet to see them support any state, all 50 states, all over the world. I'd say this statement. I've yet to see any local government support homesteading and a lot of title. So the quitclaim deed and the realtor will enjoy that. Realtors really like that because they get their sale real quick, as an example. And the buyer gets his money real quick. But you don't have to do it that way. You can just do the traditional process. You want to use the state real estate language, contractual language, not a problem either. Just afterwards, you're going to have to do the whole process over again, filing a lot of title, whereas you had a title company stamp and document that you're filing a lot of title. So you get a little more strength if you do it the first way I suggested. Doesn't really matter though.
So
do it however, just do it however.
So it's the title company that once I've secured the contract, the one that is going to be part of the closing, that title company is my title company.
Right. So title insurance is a constructed bank industrial complex system. Don't get me wrong. It's not no one in the title insurance company supports a lot of your title, but you could get some. So once you have a witness, that you just have another witness, and by the way, they're a title company. That's why I am somewhat endorsing having them witness buy from a seller in their office with a real estate agent there, because not only do you get instant affidavit, everybody can be free and clear right then and there. So you like the title companies because they're proof that you're now the title holder, but you still have to file all your lot of title information with your local county. Does that make sense?
It's okay.
Heavy words, aren't they? It's not as
I understand what you're saying. I do.
Yeah. And so once go ahead. My apologies. I have a little break in my
the 13. I'm part of that 13 Eastern states. There's a little delay. 13 Eastern states, which is a little more complicated. And I haven't been with the Bureau of Land Management. Do you have any advice on where to get assistance if needed with those land patents?
National Archives would be your best bet. Yes. Yeah, so the other people farther south, they're all working through the National Archives. Now, if you think the maps are bad at Bureau of Land Management, you should see those ones. Excuse me. So the action item for us is to work with more land surveyors on the East Coast. Haven't found them yet. So I feel we have a solution yet, but still taking in a lot of queries. Today was a call out for that. And I definitely can't wait for someone to land patent Madison Square Garden. Can't wait.
Okay, great. Well, I thank you for that information. I will work on this.
If you give me one more week of updates on the PDFs there, I feel like you'll get a big picture, because in all the filings for our sample land patent, I think it'll answer your questions.
Great. Fantastic. Thank you so much.
Thank you. You have fun.
All right. Bless you.
Thank you for the call. Thank you for the call. Oh, that is such a pleasant person. Aloha's on. Wow. That's going to be a fun one. Well, let's see. What do we have next? Mike and Leah from Michigan on line three. All documents ready. Has a few questions before filing. Thank you, Mike and Leah. Princess Leah is here. Princess Leah, caller list. Caller list.
Hello, on line hello. Three.
Thank you.
Hello. What's going on, Leah? How do you get your hair wrapped in the buns like that on both sides of your head? How would you do that? I mean,
well, it works really well.
Let's take a look. I just don't think princesses should be shooting laser guns either, but go ahead.
Okay. So we have all of our documents are mostly completed, and we would really love to file next week if that's possible, but I need to make sure everything is just perfect. So I'm wondering if there's a paralegal in our area or somebody on the PRQ team that maybe we can send our documents to or somebody can help review, because we just really need to make sure everything's perfect.
Yep. Let's see. Are you copying what I've put up so far?
Yep. Yep, I have them all, and I got a little help from Robin and her friend, but I have them all. Mostly they're all written out. There's a couple things I've got to fill in, but I do have questions I can ask that I want to ask after, but I really would love to have somebody go through it with me just to make sure.
Proof them. Yep. Okay. Let me keep pounding on us. I have a pretty long list of paralegals. I did not find one in your area. That's why I'm a little bit laggard. How about you? Can you find a relationship there? And I suggest looking for a law firm that specializes in land procurement. Don't use land patent or homesteading, but land procurement or land disputes, things like that. Those paralegals are usually already got a bit of savvy. Would that be okay of an ask from you?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. I bet you're going to find, you're going to be a little faster than us.
Did I go ahead?
Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, should I go ahead with my questions for you? Or
yeah, go ahead. Let's see. That's why we're doing the show here.
I have quite a few.
Yep. Go ahead. It'll help everybody. So this is why we do this.
Right.
So we're the way showers, if you will. At least that's my intention here, and our intention is, all the hiccups you get, our children aren't going to have these issues, are they?
No.
So this is the beauty of this. Let's make some problems here and fix them. Go ahead. What's your questions?
Okay, so the first one I just want to be real clear on is about the quick claim deed, because in the step one of the process, it doesn't really, so we have our warranty deed, and it doesn't really say that you have to have a quick claim deed. However, you have discussed it, you and Christopher spoke of it on September 21st, so I'm assuming that we do have to have the quick claim deed, so I just want to make sure.
Okay, so here's why quick claim deeds are so valuable, because you can sell the property to you and or allot it to you. So let's say you have a traditional mortgage, you have a deed of trust, whatever deed you feel you have filed currently. Quick claim deeds, you can manually sell the transfer title to you and or deed to you right in front of a title company. And now you have another reference point, another proof of service, if you will. So that's why we're endorsing that, is you don't have any banks associated. You just have you. Make sense?
Makes sense. So, yes. So we did have a mortgage cousin that works in the mortgage industry, and she helped us with our quitclaim deeds. We actually have three of them because we're working on our home,
vacant land behind our house, and then the community center, collaboration center. So we have three, and she did do that, and we had it notarized, and we were ready this past week to go and record it, but we just felt like we should just make sure. So then the other question was, when we did the quitclaim deed, we ended up, we put both of our names on it. So as I'm going through all this paperwork with the notice of acknowledgement, delivery and acceptance of deed, all of that paperwork, and accepting the land patent, is there only supposed to be one person on that, or can there be a husband and wife or two people on there?
Okay, so very good question. Before I move on to that question, the reason I like going to a title company to do quitclaim deeds manually, you can type them obviously right there, is the language they use is really, really profoundly, it really locks you in to what you're going to do when you file a lot of title. So that's why I like to quitclaim deeds as well. So forgive me. They help, most title companies are going to, title insurance companies are going to help you write it so that you don't mistakenly give it away to your little brother or something. Okay. The reason I'm endorsing one individual being the successor of the original land patent is so that you can have another 160 acres if you don't do it as a couple, but you can. So if, so I don't, you know, maybe one day Leah wants to go to another township without Mike. You never know. Never know. Now, Leah can get 160 acres, and so can Mike. So you basically doubled your potential. That's why that's why the Homestead Act was made as individuals, so that you could, so as the family grew, they could get their own homestead or get the property, you know, the region range next door to it. So yes is the answer. I suggest you just, if you really like Mike, just put it in your name or his name. You know, I don't know. It's up to you.
Yep. Makes sense. Okay.
You guys have been together quite a while, so I'm pretty sure you guys got this handled. But what we're playing with on the PRQ team is we need more bodies. So we've pulled tons and tons of land patents and homesteads. We need a lot of people. And that's why I want everybody to keep filing prescriptions, so I can start spreading them out. So that is going to be one of the jubilees that you're going to enjoy with this conscious computing system and so forth, is I need a lot of people now, because I've got a lot of homesteads, but I don't have as many people yet signed up, so I can distribute the homesteads, because we can make these packages for all of you if one of us, that means you, gets super good at this. Still waiting for those people, and it's not negative or positive in either way, but it's just really exciting to see the ones that are winning so quickly. It's just so obvious that we're getting freer and freer in this process. Is that the way you feel?
Yes. It's right in front of us. I feel it. So on the notice of now of acknowledgement, delivery, and acceptance of deed, I've got that in front of me, the copy that that you'd posted, and I just want to make sure. So it's because it's blacked out. So it says, I think it says grantor, and then the next to it is grantee. I can see grantee, and I can see the date on those, on that line, but I just want to make sure it should be a line with the word grantor underneath it, and then the other line next to it should say grantee, correct?
That's correct. And so that's why I like the quick claim deeds, because it recites the same definitions. So you're granting you to you is absolutely normal. If it's currently in your name and not in Mike's name, you can do it that way too, or you can grant it to your child. So that's how succession should have been done. is all we did was change the grantee, not the grantor. Right? So if we had kept doing this properly for the last 150 years, you would not see these banks as strong as they are. You wouldn't see these counties with less representation from us.
Very true.
We've lost control of the whole process. So if we would just keep granting our land when we passed away or had it written in maybe wills and so forth, I'm not a huge fan of any legal system, but if we would just keep granting it back to each other, the title companies would go out of business. We would have no title insurance company. We just need to keep granting it. And I guess we're going to keep these counties rolling. I feel they serve a great purpose, these counties, and there's great people in there. But we don't have any real say in inheriting an inflationary system and taxation, and we shouldn't be taxed on our land. Do we want smooth roads? Sure do. Do we want a fire department? Of course. Do we want a school? Of course we do. But why don't we decide how we're going to distribute it? And so forgive me for being long-winded. Does that help with that section?
But then I have a question about the land description. So underneath it with the land description, I'm just taking the second page of, say, the warranty deed or the quitclaim deed, and I'm just inserting it. But on the second page of this document that you've uploaded, it says, the above land description, and then it also says in the next sentence, the attached land description. So am I inserting it there as well as attaching it to this document?
Yes. So, okay. So now we're on the declaration page, correct?
I'm still on the notice of acknowledgement, delivering acceptance of deed on the second page of that at the top.
Yep. So you notice that they'll read the same. They will read the same. So my notice of acknowledgement, delivering acceptance of deed. And the question is, should only be the quitclaim deed recording note. Is that correct? In the presence of Almighty God, did receive delivery of certified copy of my quitclaim deed recorded in number of that original recording is what you're using in the county you're in, state you're in, recording office that you recorded it.
Yep.
Correct? So what is your question?
Yep. Well, I just wanted to see...
Under the note area.
Yeah, under the note area, it's on the second page of that document. It says, note, the above land description is accepting any public contracts that may infringe on the reasonable and necessary rights of relevant landowners. And then the next sentence says, the attached land description. So I'm just wondering, I'm attaching the land description as well as putting it on that first page?
Twice?
Yep, got it. If you call a note, it should have the parentheses. That is the legal way to explain that the above land description is accepting any public contract. Okay. So once you put the infringement case law, sovereign, unalienable rights, you do not have to put anything after that, as long as your land description is already at the beginning. The one sample we gave you has two parcels because we expect you to see lots of segregation of your homestead. So you don't need, after your notary page, you don't need anything else.
Oh, okay.
I should say witness page.
Okay, and then do you want to ask this one? No? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Maybe I got time for another call. All right. You folks in Michigan, thank you. I'll take another call. BBS, thank you so much. Let's see if I can jump around a little bit. I have so many. Forgive me if I mistake. Thank you so much for your call, Michigan, Mike and Leah. What troopers, we're going to learn from them, and I love it. Okay, BK from California, request for clarity for timing of signing. BK, are you there? California, thanks for waiting. Line 5, BBS Radio, request for clarity for timing of signing.
Blessings to you and your team again. Thank you, Q. Princess Leia's questions were excellent, too, being answered, made a lot of clarification. So I'm in California, and I'm also dealing with the minutiae of this, and I'm pretty clear that I will need paralegal assistance for dotting the I's, crossing the T's. But my question about the timing of signing is in reference to the notice of acknowledgement, delivery, and acceptance of deed. I have gone to the county recorder and gotten those certified copies, but I don't have my documentation in order to, and so I believe in the instructions of step one, it does say how important it is to have the signatures done, like, I guess, right after you accept the deed from the county recorder. I'm not certain of that. And I have a zillion other questions of details, you know, just minutiae in this moving forward. So do you have any California paralegals you could aim in my direction or suggest? And or also, shall I just wait for the entire presentation that you're putting forth, you and your team, before I make a move?
So you'll have, thank you so much. Great question. So two things we're working on is getting the rest of the documents uploaded here. And we're working really hard to see if anyone's going to slow us down. And we found a couple. So that's what's been really fun is to, so you guys, I can proof this over and over again so you don't have to go through the dramas that we've gone through. And we have high intentions. We're in great, great love of what God intended for us to have, and that is our planet. So we're very positive about this. We also can see the attention on us too. So that's why we're doing it this way. So if you give us one more week, you should see the entire package. And long-term, what we're working on is getting training seminars in each 50 states, getting someone who's really passionate about this. And so we can hand off the business units to each individual who wants it. There's opportunities for revenue, but that's not really what we're gleaning for, is someone that's really passionate, knows how to do it. Look at Leia and Mike in Michigan. You know, they're going to be experts in about 3 weeks here and go and feel confident. So if I can find, that's what I sift through in all the prescriptions and subscriptions through PRQ, is now we get to see who's like really into this and the paralegals. Yes, is the answer that there is paralegal in California for you who's anxious, very anxious. But if you could give me one more week to upload the entire package, I think I would feel more comfortable with that, if that's okay.
Beautiful. I'm so very grateful. And thank you. I was suggested that I not do this alone. And so I'm so very grateful again. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
You betcha. Yeah. Let us take the pitfalls over here, and then I can feel more confident about there's a lot of people listening here in very, very prominent places in our society. And so they're listening in, might be military, might be others, maybe heavy politicians. They're all listening in on this and watching us to see how we do, so that we can go around a lot of these systems. Thank you so much.
My love to you and your team. Thank you.
Our love to you. Our love to you. Beautiful call. Thank you. Another call, BBS Radio. Thanks. All right. Let's see if we can find somebody else. BK is always a good call there. I can't pass up on Aloha from PA. Aloha from PA. Questions on the original patent for one of the colonies. Go ahead, Aloha from PA.
Aloha, aloha.
Aloha, aloha.
I am here with Kate. Aloha. Yeah. I am here with KNPA, and I am having the best time doing this in a colony. So what I can see is the patents go back a long way, as far back as the late 1600s. And I was looking for clarity on a couple of aspects, and I came across you answering so many of my questions in an archive call that you and I had. So we can pull as many or all of the original patents in our area, and we can homestead 160 acres. And when I pull most or all, then that will exceed the 160 acres. The family that patented my land has over 20 to 30 patents, and I have to match the deeds to the patents, and the land descriptions reflect the way they describe land in the 1600s and early 1700s. So far, I've found a deed of partition and 20 to 30 patents from William Penn and later his three sons. So I wanted to patent all of the family's patents.
So, hey, out of curiosity, so for each patent, was it the same nomenclature of the family, or were they segregated into individuals?
Individuals. There is a father and three sons, just like William Penn and his three sons.
Okay, and so total acreage would be roughly
100 of acres.
Okay, so give
it
me a rough.
It could be over 1,000. They have so many patents.
Okay,
2,000 acres.
Okay, so each patent now can have a successor. Now you got to remember, back then we didn't have, and this is how the rich got richer and the poor got poor, and we had slaves. Is what do you think these good old boys did? They went ahead and were the original homesteaders and said, "This is mine." And then we created stronger governance. And then the segregation had to get documented, and that's what you're seeing there. So each one of those can have a successor, if that's your question.
So they have. So okay. So for my land where I live right now, I can get a partition, but not the deed that the father showed, that the father actually got the land. But I can see the partition where he gave it to one of his sons. And so it's in cursive, and it's old, and the way they describe the land, I'd have to match up a deed to a patent. And that's where my challenge is. So I said, well, I'll just repatent all of their patents.
Yeah, and it's no problem.
I have to be able to know which patent was for land.
Yeah, so with a lot of the ones I've read through there, you're going to find ones that say, if you go left of the milk bucket and right of the oak tree, and Jim's barn is the latitude and longitude I'm filing, you're going to have that kind of stuff. Don't worry about that. That's totally, you just recite it again. It's not a problem. So that's one object you'll see in there. And we just re-success what we re-recorded. And so I wouldn't get too hung up on the guys' names or the definitions that we're inheriting. We're just succeeding it, aren't we?
Yes. But I'm having trouble matching up a deed to a patent.
Because?
They didn't do it right away. Like, they could have got 40 years later, they might have done the patent, or 20 years later. So I'm having trouble matching up deeds and patents together because of which deed goes with which patent.
Okay, and can you tell me the county again in PA?
Philadelphia County. And these are deeds back that William Penn gave to the father, and then the sons got patents from William Penn's sons. 1683 to 1741.
First one, please. What was that date?
The name of the family?
No, the date, please. 1683. Okay, let me put that in the hopper there. The people listening will be on it too. Okay, so Let's see if I can get a response for you by next week. I'm going to move on to the next show, but that is really cool. So already it looks like the response I'm getting is that you picked a really boring family, by the way. The Penn family is definitely the good old boys. You already knew that, though, didn't you?
Things that I can't say about this family on the radio.
Yeah, you
really know about this family, don't you?
Yeah, you picked a hot one.
You know this family?
Hey, it's a privilege and an honor, you know, to have the memories of Gettysburg, etc. So I'm on this one for sure. Thank you very much. I really appreciate your calls each and every week. Anytime you can get through, I love you very much. And so does the rest of the team and the Mermaid. And I'll go on to my next show. Thank you for calling in and BBS Radio. Thank you. And thank you for staying with us. We'll see you on timelines here in the next few minutes. And please, we'll just take calls and talk about timelines. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Have a beautiful day.